Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
Good afternoon. Hello, everybody. I hope the day has been going well for you. You've enjoyed the speakers. And thank you for coming to our 150th anniversary conference. I'm really pleased that I'm able to stand here and speak to you about the progress that we've made and where we're at in our anniversary year. A year I think we could say is marked by aspirations, by hope, and by success. Firstly, I want to thank the speakers that we've already heard. I mean, I think that in terms of their contribution, the challenges that they've thrown out for you to debate, their vision for the future, and their perspectives, I mean, I think it's all stuff which is valid, and we need to think about that in terms of the daily work that we do. One of the things that I think that we should take from what they've said is that they have an overwhelming respect and some praise for what you all do in your work, whatever your profession may be. You work with very deprived communities in some cases, and all of that, you know, it's taken on board. Despite the challenges that you face on a daily basis, I am pleased to know that when I speak to you, you look at ways that you can overcome some of the challenges that you do face. And that's important because that's what helps you to make that difference. In terms of conference today, the sessions that we had with the Minister didn't go as maybe it could have done, but we'll look at asking some questions of him to feed back to you. Now we've had a lot of change, and there are new kind of players on the scene. We've got the Health and Social Care Act that we're all working to. We're not particularly satisfied that it's the right way forward in terms of health. We see our future much more as a health prevention in the community rather than public health in local authorities. But anyway, thinking about the different professional groups, in school nursing, things have changed. In March, there was the School Nurse Implementation Plan launched in England. And we worked with the Department of Health to influence this. And I can say that we support the aspirations within it. We'd like more in terms of achieving it. Big issues for us are that there aren't any targets set. But we've heard that, you know, it's one of those things that we're unlikely to get targets. We've got targets with the Health Visitor Implementation Plan, but other targets we may not hear about. There is no finance, unlike the Health Visitor Implementation Plan. And then there's the added complication or lack of clarity where there's the move into local authorities come March 2013. All of that can be very unsettling to the workforce. And people have asked questions about, you know, where is school nursing going to be? Where is the money going to be? And we've asked those questions of the government, and there's work going on to identify and give clarity to that, because as yet we've not had all of that clearly described. So on your behalf, we are, you know, endeavouring to make sure that that is all going to be clear. In terms of health visiting in England, again, you all know we've had the Health Visitor Implementation Plan, and it's gone quite a way now. We've again been working and continue to work with the Department of Health in England on that. It's been a slow start. I think last year we thought we'd be in a better place. This year things are much better. But I'm still concerned, and I think many of you are, that the change hasn't quite happened in the way that we envisaged. So that the numbers of health visitors that we have, it hasn't increased quite so much because vacancies were held in posts rather than having a continual recruitment throughout the year. So yes, you know, we had over 1,000 health visitors trained, but the increase is not reflecting that. So we're going to keep working on that. We're going to keep talking about what we think should be the right kind of numbers and the right situation within practice, because if you don't have the increased resource, the increased number of health visitors, you're never going to be able to change to deliver the service that we've all visioned out of the Healthy Child programme. In terms of our community nurse colleagues and community nursery nursing, internally, the forum that we have worked quite hard looking at issues around the case for regulation, and there's a lot of ongoing work that they're doing looking at that. They are also linking some of that up to some education and development for the profession in terms of moving things forward. So, all the nursery nurses here or others, take back to your community nursery nurses colleagues that they need to kind of watch this space and watch what it is that we're going to be saying over the next few months around community nursery nursing. The other thing that's been happening externally out there in the workforce have been issues around community nursery nursing services, and in some cases community staff nurses, in the services being cut. And sometimes the reasoning is given, oh, it's because we need to fund the health visiting service. That shouldn't be the way forward. Without the rich skill mix that we've got, we're not going to be able to provide the service that we have that vision for, because the community nursery nursing service it's a very distinct role, and it's valued and it is needed, as well as everything else that health visiting will provide. So there's a real challenge for us there. Thinking about some of the activity that we've got going on in the countries, in Scotland again, I mean, when we look across the border, the NHS model remains. They are not going along the lines of privatisation as we are here in England. And we're pleased about that. The devolution debate for them continues, and we watch it and we contribute to that, and we'll see where it actually ends up. In Scotland, in terms of CPHVA membership and activity, it's been a bit quiet. And what we've said and what our commitment is to the members in Scotland is that we will be doing a lot more focused work there. We'll find out what the issues are, we'll find out why it's quiet, and stir things up a little bit to make sure that we really do have our finger on the pulse in terms of what's going on in Scotland. Because it's not such a challenge, it shouldn't mean that it gets ignored. In Northern Ireland, we've had the Healthy Futures document, and we thought again that there would be much more progress in terms of making some of that a reality and actually implementing the recommendations within it. It's been slow to progress, but it is progressing. It's looking at health visiting and clarifying that role and having it well defined within services in Northern Ireland. And the same with school nursing. And also it's picking up some of the safeguarding issues because, you know, in terms of the government there, they are very clear that they wish to make sure that safeguarding of children is something that's clearly rooted in practice for the nurses there. In Wales, well, I think we've heard from Jean about some of the activities that are going on in Wales, and there are some good news stories there. In terms of our professional contribution, it's been small. It's been smaller than we would have liked. But, I mean, we have had a presence there. And, I mean, I thank Angela Roberts for some of the work that she did for us around the professional agenda in Wales in the meantime. And, again, now that we have a professional officer in post who will be picking that work up, I mean, we're going to see a lot more and hear a lot more from what's going on in Wales. So, Jean, you better watch out. Okay. Last year, when I stood up here and I spoke to you, we talked about some things that we were due to do and some of the things that we would investigate for you. And I'm just going to report some of those things back today. There was last year the debate about the NMC. And, you know, we heard that there was going to be some work around reviewing the specialist community public health nursing part of the register. We were disappointed a few months later to hear that it wasn't going to happen. And then on top of that, the fact that services were going to be reduced, and then there was going to be that fee rise because of the issues around the cost and time taken for fitness to practice. I don't think I need to repeat the debate, because we all know that we don't think the fee rise or us paying an increased fee is justified. But again, the CHRE has made some recommendations which the NMC has to address. It's their plan for addressing it. We will continue to be unhappy, but thank you. And we articulate it very clearly. However, we need to be in there to make sure that your voices are heard, because we carry a mandate from you. Okay. We've stepped up the way that we actually communicate with you, and I'm kind of hoping that you've recognised some of that, and you feel some of that, and you've heard some of that. One of the things that I'm really, really, really pleased to be able to say to everybody today is that the community practitioner site, we've kind of revamped it and rejigged it. But in addition to that, we have actually gone live today with our online CPD. So it's in beta testing, I've been told to say, make sure it's in beta testing, so that we want you all to try it. Give us your comments on what's not quite right, what doesn't fit, what don't you understand, so that we can fine-tune it and make it right. What this CPD will do is it's going to allow you to complete modules around your CPD, and we're going to keep populating it on a regular, on a monthly basis. And what you'll be able to do is hold your own portfolio online with your completed modules. When the time comes for the NMC to say, we're doing revalidation, we need to see what you've done, you'll be able to download certificates showing what you've done. You'll be able to add things from other sites. And I mean, we're really in a good position that already the Royal College of Paediatrics and Child Health have said that those who complete their e-learning modules on their site, cloud computing, allows us to actually download it onto our CPD site, so you'll be able to hold the completed module documentation on our site. So, you know, there are lots of things coming on, which is around supporting you within your professional practice. In addition to that, we started with the Uniting Health Thinking Thursdays, and I don't know whether anybody here has taken part in any of those. No show of hands. Oh, a couple. Yep, good. I hope that you appreciate it. I hope you like it. Where again, it's something that we are continuing to fine-tune to make sure that we do get it right. And again, in terms of that, we've had support from external partners. We've got the NSPCC are going to be doing one quite soon, I think, on child trafficking. We've had the agreement from Best Beginnings to participate in a module also around their Small Wonders project. And one of the things that I can say to you today is that in Best Beginnings, Alison Baum, who I think will be speaking tomorrow, has said that from now on, the first 10 people who go to their stand-in conference will get a copy of the Small Wonders DVD. So every break, get yourself down there. Have a word with Alison, because that's going to be something that will be on our site. Okay. Safeguarding, a big issue. Thinking about safeguarding, there was recently, again in England, a consultation process for working together to safeguard children. There were a lot of concerns around the contents of that and what was proposed, which we raised. It took a while, I think, for people to listen, but now my understanding is that some of the concerns that we've raised, there has been agreement for amendments to be made to make sure that we're not providing a patchy child protection service, but what will be within that document will be a clearly described safeguarding policy that includes the health professionals, because it was something that, you know, the health professional input, the professional input was thin or almost absent. So that, my understanding is it will be changing. So when that document comes out, we will see. If it isn't right, again, it's something that we will go back and challenge on your behalf. Because, I mean, I think that there is nobody here who doesn't think that safeguarding is an essential part of the work that we do. We've come a long way. I've got 2 minutes, I've got to hurry up. I think that we've come a long way in terms of safeguarding. In particular, if you think about the past culture where we had a predator like Jimmy Savile who could do what he did and people knew about some of that and didn't do anything, we need to make sure that safeguards are put in place so that doesn't happen again. I said, speaking very quickly, that we'd increase our professional resource, and we've done that. We've got two new professional officers in who are covering the whole of the health sector. Jane Beach, who came into post on the 1st of October, and as the Professional Officer for Regulation, and then we'll have Ethel Rodriguez, who will be coming in on the 3rd of December as our Professional Officer for Education. In terms of what they do, they'll be developing different educational and professional strategies, and you'll see that coming out with more training and development opportunities for you, delivered in a way that suits you better in the way that you work. We need to make sure that we address what your needs are. We need to make sure that we hear from you. So don't be silent. Don't be silent on anything. You know, we love challenge and debate. We're not afraid to face it. One of the things that we did this year, we held the CPHVA Awards. It was the first time we'd done it. I think it works very well. We will be continuing that. It will become a rolling process. I hope that you appreciate that the things that we are doing is about enhancing the services that we give to you and making them better. It's like the bursaries that we arranged this year to get some people to conference. It's like the gala dinner that we're doing, which will actually, you know, be an opportunity for us to celebrate where we've come from and where we're going, because, you know, there's a legacy that we need to celebrate and acknowledge. There are challenges that remain, and they're quite serious. The NHS that we know is changing, and privatisation is becoming a more pervasive element of it. We're not going to watch silently, and we ask you not to watch silently. I know that there's a saying that one of my colleagues uses from Edmund Burke, when good men stay silent, evil prospers. We need to make sure that that doesn't happen. The NHS is a great institution because it's full of committed professionals who work as a team. You know, we have to have each other's backs on that, but we have to speak up. You all need to remember, all of you in the audience and your colleagues who are back at work who didn't come today, that you were all great, and you can change the course of a child's life, an individual's life and a community's life by what you do. We need to do this because we're very, very clear that if we reach our goals, we pass that on, we create greater opportunities for subsequent generations. We need to be fearless. It's not about being afraid, it's about existing within the fear. We have aspirations, we have hopes, we will have success. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.